The Keys of Love, written by Barbara Cartland, narrated by Anthony Wren. Chapter 1, 1890. Henrietta Radford stifled the urge to yawn. Straight above the head of Count Mastrovic, who was kneeling passionately in front of her, she could see her reflection in the mirror across the room. An 18-year-old girl, with long blonde tresses and sea-green eyes, in a grey dress and pretty red boots. She gave a start as the Count suddenly grasped her hand and dragged it to his fervid lips. His minute kisses made her think of mosquito bites, and she disengaged her hand with a barely disguised flinch. The Count looked at her questioningly. "You do not like me?" Henrietta swallowed. There was nothing at all particularly wrong with the Count, but there was nothing particularly right either. His jowls quivered when he became heated, and his hands were large and ungainly, and the colour of smoked ham. And she did think that large sword he insisted on wearing as part of his Bulgarian army costume was rather preposterous. He looked so like a figure from feudal Europe, when this was actually Boston, United States of America, in 1890. "Miss Radford, my cherub, won't you answer me?" Henrietta sighed. "I am so sorry, Count, but you see, you are suitor number 4 this week, and I get rather muddled." The Count bridled.
"There are others?"
"Oh, yes," replied Henrietta mournfully. "Many." The Count rose majestically.
"Then I salute you and withdraw. When a young lady does not see the virtue of a Bulgarian, she is blind."
The Count bowed, clicked his heels, and was gone. Henrietta had been living in America for 2.5 years, but it was only in the last months that she had been able to purchase some superb items for her wardrobe. She gave another sigh and leaned back in her chair. Despite the pleasure of such luxuries as handmade boots, she had grown tired of life in Boston. She missed England and her home there, Lushwood Manor, even though she and father had left it under very sad circumstances. Lushwood had once been a beacon for elegance and gaiety. Many lavish balls were held there when old Lord Radford, Henrietta's grandfather, was alive. She recalled creeping out of the nursery in order to gaze down through the banisters of the great stairway at the guests arriving. Lords and ladies, dukes and duchesses, counts and countesses. She remembered one night in particular. Her mother was playing French airs on the piano in the drawing-room, and the sound drifted into the hall, where a young man had just arrived late and was in the process of removing his cape. He was very tall, with raven-black hair and a strong profile. He looked every inch a prince out of a storybook. Catching sight of the little girl peering breathlessly down at him, the young man gave a conspiratorial wink.
"What, are you not dancing this evening?" he asked mischievously.
Henrietta shook her head. "I am not allowed into the parlour at this hour," she explained shyly. The young man thought for a moment.
"But you are allowed into the hall at this hour?"
Henrietta considered gravely.
I think so. Nobody has ever said I shouldn't."
The young man held out his hand.
"Then why not come down and waltz with me?"
The housemaid in the hall looked disapproving, but Henrietta did not care. She tripped lightly down the stairs, holding up her nightshift as if it was the most beautiful ball gown.
"It isn't quite a waltz that is being played," said the young man. "We will have to improvise."
Henrietta did not know what the word improvise meant, but she said nothing. She just placed her hand in her partner's, and they were away. The housemaid watched with pursed lips, throwing anxious glances at her, but she did not notice. She felt like a feather, drifting here and there over the floor. So this was what it was like to be a grown-up. When the dance finished, the young man bowed.
"Thank you, Miss Radford. I presume you are Miss Radford, and not some changeling."
Henrietta, unsure of changeling, but being certain of who she was, nodded proudly.
"And how old are you, Miss Radford?"
7, replied Henrietta gravely, "and a half."
Her partner's eyes twinkled.
"Well, when you are 17 and a half, we will hopefully dance again."
Henrietta had often thought since of the handsome young man.